If you found Psalms 119, we're going to read some of the opening verses. If you'll stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, then I'll bring the message that God's put up on my heart. In Psalms 119 and verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Heavenly Father, thank you for the sweet, sweet Spirit that abides in this place. We know, Heavenly Father, it's because the Spirit of God is here and Jesus is exalted. And Lord, we're thankful for a place like this. Tonight, dear Lord, we are needing a special blessing from you. We need help. We're needy people. And God, we pray that you would supply it. Lord, may it be that when we leave tonight, that every Christian in this building will have been drawn closer to thee, more excited about doing your will, walking with you, dear Lord, humbly as your word teaches us. And Lord, if there's someone that is not saved, God, convince them tonight that they need to be saved and that you have already done everything possible to save them. Holy Spirit, anoint me with liberty and the anointing of your power and presence. And may Jesus be exalted. And may people be helped. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I want to ask you two questions. Number one, I want to ask you the question, do you enjoy fellowship with God? Along with that question, I ask you, when was the last time that you had fellowship with God? I had fellowship with your pastor and family today. We talked. We reminisced old times. We talked about some new things. And that was something that I can refer back to. You should be able to refer back to a time that you have had fellowship with God. A lot of people come to church and they have fellowship with God and they leave and they say, "Man, God sure met with us today." I want to ask you the question, are you enjoying fellowshipping with God? I want to ask you a second question. I want to ask you a question, is God enjoying fellowshipping with you? You see, that's why he created you in the first place. The Bible tells us, for his glory and his honor, for his fellowship, that he created us. He wanted Adam and Eve to be that, and he did that with them and Adam and Eve until they went on their own way and walked out of the will of God, and God came every afternoon and talked with them, and they had fellowship with him. The scripture tells us here, but in the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, and it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Tonight I want to talk about the ingredients for fellowshipping with God and how that we can have a life that would make God enjoy fellowship with us. Now, Brother Jones, I enjoyed fellowship with you today, and I hope you enjoyed fellowship with me. And I want to have fellowship with God because that's why I was created, and I want God to enjoy his time that he spends with me. Do you get my point there? It's not that we just enjoy him. Our purpose is to make him enjoy us. Now, the book of Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, and no, I'm not preaching on the entire chapter. But all of the chapter, most of the verses, one or two, does not talk about the Word of God. But generally speaking, it is 176 verses all talking about the Word of God. It may be called the Word of God, the precepts of God, the testimonies, thy law, these kind of words, all referring to the Word of God. This is the second stanza. It's made up of 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. They would use them and sing them in their worship services, and this is the second stanza. And it begins like this when it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" He's beginning to telling us something about having our life in such a situation that God would enjoy living within us and that God would enjoy the fellowship that he has with us. You see, we are stewards of God's blessings and opportunities that He has given us. Did you know what stewardship is? Some folks think that stewardship is when the preacher is getting ready to increase the budget and he wants people to give more money, but that's not stewardship at all. Stewardship is the responsibility and the accountability to God for all that you are, for all that you do, for all that you have, for all of your life, to the glory of God. That's stewardship. And if we're going to have fellowship with Almighty God, we become good stewards of the things that He puts in our hands, and we walk with Him, as Michael chapter 6, verse 8, "This is what the Lord doth require thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." Amos comes along in the book of Amos, and he says, "How can can walk together unless they be agreed?" So if you're walking with God, you are in agreement with God. If you are in agreement with God, you're enjoying His fellowship, and He's enjoying your fellowship. The writer of the book of Psalms 119 that I read to you is talking about our own heart and God living within our heart. Did you know it is wonderful that this building is here and it is so beautiful and it is so adequate and we call it the house of God? And you built it and you dedicated it and you call it the house of God, and appropriately so. But there's another house of God that the Bible tells us, and the house of God is not in temples made with hands, but the house of God is in our own heart. The Bible says that. The scripture tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "What, know you not that that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" You become a Christian. You belong to Him. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." That sounds like fellowship to me, and it tells me that God is living in our heart as believers. And that word "dwell" is the Greek word which means to dwell in and to influence for good. What God is living within us to influence us. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." So God is living within us. And as He lives within us, He goes everywhere we go. He's with us in everything that we do, in every thought of our mind, in every word that comes from our lips, and every desire that flows through us. God is there living within us, wanting to enjoy fellowship with us. Well, the psalmist writes, and he gives us just a list in every verse of these 8 verses in this stanza. He gives us some ingredients to make sure that God enjoys fellowship time with us. So instead of us just saying, "Hey, we need to spend some time with God," let's remember that we need to be in a situation that God will enjoy spending time with us. Now, what are these ingredients for good fellowship with God? First of all, we look at that very first verse that I read to you, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" If you're going to have fellowship with God, you've got to come to that verse and realize that you're implementing a cleansing. You got to be concerned about cleansing. If God is going to enjoy fellowship with you, you've got to have a clean heart. If someone is going to come and visit with you at your house, this is my wife's doings. If some of the kids are coming, are we going to have company? She spends 2 or 3 days of cleaning places that I didn't even know were dirty because she's getting ready for the kids to come. She cleans. For a couple of months, I was interim pastor at a church, and I got the list of membership, and I told the church in one of the first services I was there that Glenda and I are going to get together, and just at random, we're going to go down this list, and we're going to start visiting cold turkey. We're not going to tell you when we're coming. We're not going to say if it's in the day, the afternoon, or the night. Just going to ring your doorbell, knock on your door, and it's surprise, it's the preacher. And I said, "But ladies, I'm 6'4". And when I walk into your house and I'm going to look at the top of your refrigerator because women cannot see the top of their refrigerator, and I'm going to see how dirty it is on the top of your refrigerator, you better clean it before I get there. And we had a revival of refrigerator top cleaning. And Glenda and I would go visiting, and a lady would meet us at the door. Prick, come in, preacher. It says, my refrigerator top's clean. And we would have such good fellowship. We'd go to another place, and the lady would say, oh, no, I didn't clean off my refrigerator. You can't go in the kitchen. After a few weeks of that, one lady came up to me and says, preacher, I have you to know that I cleaned the top of my refrigerator off, and you ain't come yet. You know, the reason that they were cleaning is because somebody that they were looking at as special was going to come to their church, their house. Hey, how important it is that we make sure if God's going to come and live in our house, that we make sure that we clean our life. Amen. Our life is going to be clean. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? For most folks, if somebody's going to come, you make sure that it is clean. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Make sure that our heart and our mind is pure and clean. Wherewith shall a man cleanse his way? Several years ago, they came up with a little bracelet. I'm not critical of this. I'm just saying they did this. And the little bracelet said, I think, if I can remember the letters correctly, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And so that was good. And people wore those little bracelets. Maybe you have them on now. That's good. A preacher down in Panama City preached a series of messages on what, not what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus undo. A whole lot of difference. Sometimes things come in our life that we need to undo. We need to make sure that our mind is clean, that our heart is clean, that we are living a testimony that when God comes in, He knows of no dirt that would hinder fellowshipping between you and Him. Is there some tonight? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, what can wash away my sin? Whether you're lost or whether you're saved, it's the same blood that cleansed you from your sins. And tonight, we Christians constantly have to go to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, forgive me. I confess my sins and cleanse my way of all my sin. You see, there must be a cleansing of our sin from us. But there's a second ingredient if you're going to have good fellowship with God. Not only you must be concerned about cleaning, but you must be compliant to the Word of God, because the rest of that verse says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? Cleansing, he says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's complying. Now, what does the word comply mean? The word comply, as we look into this particular thing, it tells us that it is something that is very important, that when we hear something, given a command, we automatically do it. We step in line. Do you remember those shows? Glenda and I, we watch Andy Griffin every day. Lord, forgive us, whatever. That's our afternoon right before the meal. Right after the meal, we watch Andy and Barney. Didn't they advertise about the other guy that was in the Marines? What is it? Gomer Pyle. And you remember, Gomer Pyle was always out of step with the rest of the squadron. And sometimes we get out of step with the will and the teachings, the ordinances of Almighty God. And we're not walking in God's way. And we need to come to the place that if we're going to have real fellowship with God, that we must comply to the teachings of the Word of God by taking heed to the Word of God. Son, go empty the trash for your mother. And if he sits there, he didn't comply. If he gets up and goes and gets the trash, he is complying to the wishes of his dad and for the aid and help of his mother to do what was told them to do. Did you know some Christians do not comply? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love the Word of God. But they do not comply to the Word of God. Now, if you want to have real fellowship with God, you must come to the place by taking heed to the Word of God. You see, how does a young man cleanse his way? His way is life. His way may be a rut or a track that is made like a wheel and is living in a rut life, and he comes to God, and how do I get out of this? By taking heed to the Word of God, and he's transgressed again and again and has created a sinful rut. And how does he escape? By complying to the teachings of the Word of God. It was Jesus Christ that said this in John chapter 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now that word keep my commandments is the same thing and the same principle of the word complying. We keep his Word of God. Now what does the Lord mean by the words take heed? These words come from the Hebrew word shamar, which means to keep or to guard or to watch over. It is our responsibility as we have fellowship with God is to keep and to guard and to watch over every teachings of the Word of God. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. It is the Word of God that cleanses us from our sins. We comply to the Word of God. Brother Jones, you have got a good church, but did you know what would happen if every person that's saved and is a member of Oakwood Baptist Church, if they begin to comply in every aspect to the teachings of the Word of God? For example, like Hebrews chapter 10, it says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And understand, our ministry of coming to the church is not just to get something and to soak up a message and to enjoy the singing, but he goes on and tells us what we need to do when we get here. Exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Complying. You say, what if all your church folks complied on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Every one of them. I guarantee you on Wednesday night, it wouldn't take long that everybody in this community would know, hey, something is going on at Oakwood Baptist Church when they came down this road and the city police are out here directing traffic on Wednesday night. What's going on at Oakwood? All it would take is that every member complied to the Word of God, not to forsake it. Oh, I've got to go to church because I'm going to be an encouragement to somebody when I get there just because I'm there. There was one lady that went to church for years and she was blind and she could not see and she was deaf and she could not hear. Someone communicated with her and said, why in the world do you want to even go to church when you can't see what's going on and you can't even hear what's said? She made this statement. She said, I just want everybody to know what side I'm on. You see, if you're going to have fellowship with God, you need to not only cleanse yourself, but be concerned about complying with the Word of God. How important it is that they word sanctify. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We all need a good dose of the Word of God every day of our life. If you want to have fellowship with God, you need to make sure that you have a concern with cleansing. And then there must be a compliance to the Word of God. And thirdly, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. The third thing is, there must be a commitment to the Lord. A commitment. We live in a day of non-committals. People, marriages, churches, jobs, whatever you mention, we are living in a day where folks have forgotten about a commitment. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Not with my partial heart, but with my whole heart. And then he says, oh, let me not wander from thy precepts. You sing the song here sometimes, I'm sure. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Now, I am assuming that you folks are not super duper Christians, that you're average Christians. And there's sometimes in your walk with God that you are not as close to God, and you're not as clean as you ought to be, and you're not as compliant as you ought to be. It's because we're not committed, we're prone to wander. Notice what he says, verse 10, he says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Do you pray to God, "Oh God, let me not wander away from complying to the Word of God that you have given me, a commitment." Apathy, so many people are apathetic about the things of God in our day. Many churches are calling off church services, and man, they will call church service off at a drop of the hat, and they'll even furnish the hat nowadays. But the Word of God says, "So much the more, Brother Jones, as you see the day approaching." You see, apathy is like cold water on a burning heart, on fire for God. God is disgusted with half-heartedness. And oh, how we need to be committed. Psalms 119, verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart." Husbands, do you love your wife partially with your heart? Or do you love her with your whole heart? Children, do you love your parents wholeheartedly? Do you love God with all your heart? Boy, if we just stood just for a moment and reflected and thought about what God has done for us, and then view our commitment to Him, considering all that He's done for us. The psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 65, he says, "Lord," he said, "Thou hast dealt well with my soul, O Lord." Do you know what, in our language today, if I was saying that, it would say this: "God, you've been good to this old boy." That's what the psalmist was saying. "Thou hast dealt well with my soul, Lord. You have dealt well with me. How wonderful it is. Oh, listen, I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to live for 57 years with my wife, Glenda, not like Steve Curry today in Ording, Washington, that his wife was diagnosed with brain cancer in August of last year, and Friday night she died. And I'm flying to Washington Thursday to preach the funeral on Saturday, to preach for him next Sunday morning and Sunday night. He was my youth pastor at People's Baptist Church for 10 years. Oh, I think all the blessings that we've had and what others did not get to enjoy, what God has put on our table to enjoy, and we take it for granted. Don't you ever take your church for granted. I happen to know dozens and dozens of churches that would give anything if they had a church like yours, a commitment to the Lord. Psalms 119 in verse 34, "Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." How important it is that we understand there must be a commitment to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 6, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If you want to have fellowship with God, how do you do that? Well, you seek him totally. Deuteronomy 4:29, "But if thou from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul," you are as close to God tonight as you desire to be. Amen. Seek him with your whole heart. We need to seek him continually because Psalms 105 verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face evermore." Don't stop seeking the face of God. We need to seek it continually. Then we need to seek it reverently. Prepare yourself to seek the Lord. Remove distractions from your mind and ask God to speak to your heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And he did evil because of the lack of preparation to seek the Lord. I remember when I was pastoring years ago, I had a lot of boldness back then. And I remember church folks coming in and talking about a show on Saturday night, and they called it Saturday Night Live. And I said, "One of your problems is that you're Saturday Night Live and Sunday morning dead." Because they made mention of that so often, and there they did not prepare themselves. They sat up late on Saturday night. They never gave any thought about the church service on Sunday morning. They never knelt once and they prayed, "God bless our preacher tomorrow as he preaches. Fill him with the Holy Spirit of God. May souls be saved. And God, prepare my heart. Forgive me of my sins and put me in a worshipful position." And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. There must be commitment. But then I want you to look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." And so we have come to the place concerned about cleansing. We come to the place of complying to the word of God, committed to the Lord of God, to the word of God. And now we must cherish the word of God. Do you cherish the word of God? Do you love it? Are you thankful for it? "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." God's word will deter depraved, detrimental, damaging, destructive living. It's just the word of God that we need in our life. How important it is that we cherish the word of God. Listen closely. What you do with the Bible will determine what God is going to do with you. Teenagers, listen. What you do with the Bible will determine what God is going to do with you. It's all from the Word of God. But by the way, isn't it wonderful that this church believes that we have the Word of God before us? Inerrant, infallible, the verbally inspired Word of God. We have that, and what we do with that book will determine what God is going to do with us. As we think about cherishing the Word of God, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." The word hid means to hide or to treasure or to store up. Psalms 19 and 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than fine gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey the honeycomb." Ladies and gentlemen, he says there's treasures in the Word of God. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we get excited when we hear about folks winning money. Several years ago, and I think the show is still on TV, "Who wants to be a billionaire?" Of course, I wouldn't mind being one. "Well, if you're a millionaire, you have a lot of problems." Oh, well, I will try to learn to deal with that. I was in one church and the pastor got up and said on Wednesday night prayer meeting, "Church, I want us to pray that God would raise up 4 millionaires in this church." I don't know why he wanted 4. If it had been me, I would have said 12. But he says, "I want us to pray that God would raise up 4 millionaires in the church." I want to tell you what I did. Immediately, I raised my hand. "Pastor, I agree to be one of them." I'm so carnal. But listen, the Word of God has treasures, the Bible says, more to be desired than gold. Oh, how we should love the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. We need to cherish the Word of God. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy stage." Blessed art thou. How happy art thou, O God, fellowshipping with me. Are you blessed, God? Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. What do we learn about ingredients for good fellowship with God, that he would enjoy our fellowship? Cocky attitude must be removed from our life if we're going to let God enjoy fellowship with us. What is a cocky attitude? It's the person that says, "Well, I've arrived. I know it all." I had a man who was in his middle age and he went off to Bible college. God had called him to preach and he went to Bible college, Brother Jones, and he came back after one semester. And I said, "Why in the world did you say God led you to go to Bible college and here you're back after one semester?" He says, "Well, I listened to those college professors and I determined that I knew about as much as they did. Might have known more, I don't know." But it tells us one thing about him. He didn't have a teachable attitude. Those kind of people are nothing but trouble in churches either, that they think they have arrived. They know it all. If you're going to have fellowship with God, you have got to come to the place of, "Lord, teach me. I am open, oh God. I need to know the way." As we think about the way, you look into the opening verses of Psalms 119. Let's go back to the chapter 119, verse 1. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." You see that terminology, "in the way"? That means life. Blessed are they that are undefiled in the manner of life, the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart." Verse 3, They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways, in God's ways. They walk in God's ways. And then in verse 5, he prays, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." He is saying, "Oh, God, would you help me that my ways will be like your ways? Teach me, Lord. Help me to understand the Word of God. Because remember, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you." Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 11 says, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease." Do you think that you have arrived and that you know it all and nobody can teach you anything? Listen, always look to learn from anybody, no matter how educated or uneducated they are, no matter how experienced or inexperienced they are. Don't ever think that you can get by with having a cocky attitude, before pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Romans 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." How important it is that we never have a cocky attitude. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." With my lips. Now, from his heart in fellowship with God, it is moved up to his lips. And because his heart has been enjoying the presence of Almighty God, his lips have been pronged to declare the judgments of God because of the thrill in his soul. And in verse 13 he says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments, all of your teachings with my mouth." I want to tell everybody about your blessed word. Here we see, ladies and gentlemen, we need to lay claim and certify the truths of God's Word with our mouth. If you want to make the Lord comfortable and enjoy fellowship with you, you just declare His Word. The word declare means to speak, to rehearse, or to reckon, or to count, or to show forth. Psalms 119, verse 46, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." Well, I'm embarrassed. A lot of people laugh when I tell them that all my life I have been a very shy introvert, because I get up and speak before sometimes hundreds of people and whatever. They say, "You an introvert?" I say, "Yes, I'm an introvert. I'd rather not talk. In crowds of people, I'd rather let somebody else talk and me just stand back and listen, or sometimes when they're talking, not listen." I'm an introvert. I easily get embarrassed. Sometimes I'm hesitant about opening my mouth when I should open my mouth, Brother Jones. But here the psalmist is saying this. He's coming to the place, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." I like to play golf. In fact, if I wasn't rushed this week, I would stay and play golf tomorrow with Matthew, but I got to go. I love to play golf. And when I'm at home in Panama City, I go to the golf course every morning at 6 o'clock, and I play a round of golf at 6. I walk 20 miles a week when I'm home. And I like to play golf. And I wanted to be a good testimony at the golf course. And when I go out to the number one tee, and sometimes there's a lot of people out there, I speak to the speaker, and I started quoting Bible verses to them. And the starter is a real great dedicated Christian. Makes it easy when you're around Christian people. One day I say, "This is the day the Lord hath made, and we're going to see how the golf ball flows." This is the day that the Lord hath made. Isn't it wonderful that God has made a wonderful day today? I sure hope it doesn't rain when I'm on hole number 3. It's a long way from the clubhouse. And I want to say something about God, so that they can hear. Hey, listen, there's people from all over the country come to Panama City, and I want them to know that somebody down there talks favorable about God. Amen. With my lips. Oh, God, give us courage. Give us boldness to speak up and tell everybody how good God has been to us. How wonderful it is. Claim and certify the Word of God. Look at verse 14, and we begin to close. "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. as much as in all riches. I have rejoiced in the way of thy teaching, of the influence of the Word of God. I have enjoyed the fellowship as much as in all riches, and I will meditate on thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Do you think that if a person can come to the place of saying what the psalmist just said, that God in heaven in his time of fellowship with us said, man, that's good. I love to hear that. And when he says that the psalmist is saying this, I will have respect unto thy ways. He says, I'm complying to your teaching and how wonderful it is. And God is enjoying fellowship in time with us. When we say, God, I have respect unto thy ways. You know, when I was brought up, our parents taught us to fear them, I guess. And when I say to fear them, I mean to respect them highly. And when I got 16 and got my driving license, before I was driving, and the police never complained about us driving without a license, as long as you behave yourself, the police said, you're okay. But when I got 16, I got a driving license, and I could go down to the next town to the skating rink or to the bowling alley and things like that, and Mom would give me the car keys. And I would get in the car and I would get out and go on my way. And Mom would follow me to the door and said, son, you behave. Yes, ma'am. And then I'd take another step or two and she would say, son, you be careful. You make sure you get back. I'd take a few more steps and then she would say, and son, you be back. And she would tell me when to be back. 10 o'clock with 30 minutes grace period. And if I got there at 10:31, I was in trouble. Be back. And as I think about all the cherishing their commands and just obeying what they said, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Did you know when I did that? Did you know that my mom was very well pleased with me doing that, going away in the car? And responsibility. And when God says to us, you behave and you be careful, and yes, sir, do you know that God says, oh, I'm so pleased in fellowship with them. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as in all riches. What makes you happy or cheerful? I like football. I like golf. I like sports. I like marbles. I grew up playing marbles. We didn't have all this technology and we didn't have all this stuff that kids have today. We have to build a separate room just to have the kids' toys. I made my own toy. I got an end of a 2x4 and played like it was a car. It was a 40 Ford or something like that. And I'd get under the house and make little roads and I think about all that. I enjoyed all that, but what really thrills you? Does the Word of God thrill you? I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. What makes you happy? Do you ever get happy because of the Bible? Do you ever hear something in there and say, oh God, thank you? Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for your goodness upon my life. Psalms 119:47, and I delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Do you want God to enjoy fellowshipping with you? Then let's apply these things in this second stanza of Psalms 119 to our life. When I was a little kid, we didn't have an automobile at home. And my dad finally got enough money that he went and bought him an automobile. And he bought a 40 Ford, which in my estimation is one of the most beautiful cars ever built, a 40 Ford coupe. We didn't have paved roads around home. And every afternoon when he got off from work, we could see a cloud of dust coming down there. And Mom would say, "Your dad's coming, Yonder. I see the dust. And so y'all come in and wash up and get ready for supper. He'll be here in a minute. I can see him coming." It'd be a big cloud of dust. And that dust would get all over that black, shiny Henry Ford automobile. And you couldn't tell if it was a black car or an old gray, dusty, dingy car. It looked awful. You've seen trucks by the back of them, "Wash me," and all that. Well, you could ride all over that. You could write a letter on the anywhere on that automobile. And one day, where in the world I got this idea, I don't know. My wife says, "That's the way you live. I don't know where you think of things like that." I got it in my mind. I said one day to my dad, "Dad, do you mind if I go out and wash the car?" He looked at me kindly stunned, and he says, "Well, I guess so. That's okay." You see, we didn't have inside water. And so I went outside and got me a bucket and went down the hill and the well and drew water out and got me some water and came back home and got some of Mom's Tide washing powders and put it in there and stirred it all up and made a lot of suds. And I went out and washed a section of that 40 Ford, the dust off of it, and it was black. And I just happened to think, I got to rinse this off. I got another bucket, went down to the well, and I would come and get some rinse water and I would slosh it. That's a Greek word. Y'all know what slosh is? And I would slosh it on the car and would rinse that dirt off and the Tide suds before they dried. And I would wash another little section, get another bucket, slosh it on, rinse it off until I got all around that car. And that car was sparkling clean and it shined just like Henry Ford desired them to be. And I stood there and I watched that 40 Ford looking at it. I felt good. But then I heard the back screen door open. And I knew that it was the footprints of my dad, the way he walked across the back porch. And he walked down the steps and he came out to where I was with the car, washed the car, and he walked all around that car. And he looked at it. And all my dad did was when he looked at me, he held up his thumb and said, "Son, you did good." I never will forget that, Brother Jones. My dad's in heaven, and someday I'll see him. "Son, you did good." Every one of us in this building tonight is going to face the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be our desire tonight that when Jesus Christ observes our work of service upon this earth, he looks at us and says, "Son, you did good. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You did good."